We would, first of all, apologize because there are no extra programs on the book table. I believe that Sister Gloria had an appointment at the dentist, and she just slipped her mind, but there will be programs at a later time. Now we're going to have words of welcome by Brother Lawrence Kirkham.
Thank you, Brother Don. It always seems kind of superfluous to have a welcome address because I've never seen a Bible Students' Convention where the brethren weren't welcome. So it's rather redundant, isn't it? But we do welcome you in the name of our wonderful Heavenly Father, His great intellect and creative genius that has made all things. And we welcome you in the name of His only begotten Son, whose love and devotion have made this great plan of salvation possible. And in the Spirit of God's Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of justice and wisdom with which He has deigned to rule His universe, and which Spirit we hope we are of and in harmony with and growing towards our goal of Christ-likeness. Now, this is the year 1988, believe it or not. In 1874 or 1914, that would have been qualified for Ripley's, wouldn't it? The first 17 years of my life, I tried to find out what was happening. What was going on in this grand creation? And for the last 40 years, I've been watching it happen with great delight. And one of the features of our day in this end period and overlapping of the ages is change, dramatic and dynamic changes. We've watched the plowman overtaking the reaper, and we have watched a process that God is in charge of going much, much slower than we as brethren ever anticipated. Originally, what was expected to happen in 2 or 3 years now has been in progress for 74 years. And as each year goes by, we don't necessarily see much change. But over 10 years, the changes are substantial. And we can look back 10 years ago and say our world is different today. 20 years ago and say it's much more different today. And then if we go all the way back 74 years, vastly different today. But year to year, we see not so much change. And this time frame has been and continues to be for us, dear brethren, a test of our faith. It has always been so. And I think it will continue right to the end. Now, the words of wisdom from the prophet are, if the vision tarry, wait for it. All we have to do to see the end of God's program is to wait for it and watch it. Isn't it wonderful we're not in charge, that we bear not the weight of responsibility? Wait for it. Now, 1988 has been an extremely active year. Changes seem to be occurring more quickly than in the past. One of the things we've seen in 88 is anarchy in increasing intensity. And this is our expectation, that somehow, we know not how, we will watch it and see it as it occurs. Somehow, anarchy will be the final end of this present evil order. And then we've seen a great deal of exposure, like the plague of the sun. And we'll quote a little a quote we read the other day. In the old days, Oscar Wilde once said, men had the rack, now they have the press. And so we've watched men do things that in years past would have never been discussed. And these things are being shouted from the television, the radio, and other publications. And then we watch Israel, so hated by those 22 Arab nations that they won't take their few brothers in, as the Jews took theirs in when the Arabs cast them out. And so they sit there and use them to stir up unrest and anarchy in Israel. And then we see the great increasing knowledge. In the few brief years we've been involved with computers, we've watched these things grow and grow in power and intensity, and it's looking like pretty soon any of us can afford to have in our homes a disk on which the whole Library of Congress could exist, and we could just call it up and pursue all through these various sources of knowledge at our own convenience. And as each household gets this kind of thing, people who are interested in learning can learn at an extremely accelerated rate, because they won't be hindered by going through libraries and shelves and books and things of that nature. And then we've watched the continuing wars, 40 or 50, always going on in the world someplace, and the casualties are, we don't even seem to think about them, but they measure up into the millions each year of people killed in these continuing wars throughout the world. And the revolutions, it seems like nothing's stable, whether it be in governments or in the economy, and we could go on in that area. Great changes everywhere. And recently, we've watched the world struggling with economic change, and they don't know what to do because the world is in such a wonderful situation of overproduction. The world suffers from overproduction. You see, the kingdom won't suffer from overproduction. That's what the kingdom arrangements need. This is what the Lord is doing. But the economic system is stressed by overproduction because it can't handle it. And then we see the 50 to 60,000 atomic devices in the hands of Russia and the United States, Germany, England, and other countries, and even now the small countries. And there's great fear that some small country will start using them. And you know, every war, they said that the armaments were too terrible to use, but once the war started, they were used. Every one that could be used was used, and they continued and continued to try to get the advantage. And if we think back, the United States, at the end of World War II, had 2 atomic bombs and used every one of them. What would happen in the next one? God says he will hold back. He will cut those days short. And then we see the great confusion of leaders everywhere. You wonder why they can't find a decent one. Why are these men in Congress doing what they do? Why are the heads of state stumbling like they're stumbling? Because the God has smitten them with a blindness of confusion, no longer helping them to keep order as in the past. Because now is the time for disorder, change, and the overturning and plowing. And so God's plan unfolds beautifully before our eyes, and we wait and watch and enjoy the great spectacle. Now, apparently there's some time left. We know not how long, for we see some consecrating. We see them being baptized and showing this consecration to their brethren. We see their development. We know that there must be time for their testing. And yet, many of our strong brethren are going home, and we miss them deeply. Now, the final test is on the church today. And as we see it, it is on the world today, and quite similar. Is it not a matter of honesty, integrity, and loyalty? We have a great enemy, Satan, and that's the only way to explain the experiences the Bible students have and the experiences that the world has today also. The only way to explain the deceptive tests of truth and character or the great moral decay that's rampant around us. But we have a protection. The Lord has said, "Resist the devil, and he shall flee from you." We have God's word, which is our buckler and shield, and we can answer as our Lord answered, "It is written, and let our yea be yea, and our nay be nay, and let the word of God settle all issues." And so, dear brethren, may God bless you in this convention. May the word of God be spoken clearly. May we welcome it into good and honest hearts and enjoy sweet fellowship in the truth. We thank you all for coming. We want you to be comfortable, And we hope that if you have any needs, you will ask and we'll try to be of help. May our great and heavenly Father and His Spirit be with us during these 3 days of convention.